Working? Yes, it is. Thank you, Andrew, and the worship team. It's good to see Andrew back after a long break, but it was great to praise with you. It was great to think again about the God that we praise in the midst of the storm. I wanted to start this morning by doing something you guys should be used to by now, by telling you a story. And it's a story that comes from my own life, but I have to preface this story by saying, in case any of you are wondering, is the story developed, because it does involve Joy a lot, yes, I asked her permission to share it. Generally speaking, I will usually do that, but it's a story that unfolded in our lives probably about 6 months ago now. And we had gone to see the doctor for a number of reasons, but we were sitting in this office, and for those of you who know me relatively well, you know I'm pretty sarcastic. I like to tease, I like to play with sarcasm. And so the doctor and I were chatting, and it was a doctor I knew relatively well, and so I was being a little bit sarcastic with him, and we were teasing Joy a little bit about her anxiety and how worried she could get. And as we progressed, the doctor was asking her about some other things that were going on in our lives and some places where she was struggling a little bit, and we came back to it, and he goes, well, why is that so hard for you? And she said, well, I worry so much about it. And as we delved into it, Joy started to cry a little bit. She just said, it's so hard. I worry so much about so many things. And he asked me, is that true? And I said, well, yeah, it absolutely is. And I spelled out for him some of the places where Joy worried so much. And he said, well, let's just do something really quick. And he got out a couple of little sheets of paper that he had in his desk, and he said, Joy, I want you to answer these questions and to do these little tests. And I'm just going to score them and see where you are on these scales. And so Joy did. And he looked at the answers, and he said, Joy, have you ever thought that you might have anxiety disorder? And Joy kind of looked up sheepishly and said, well, my sister is on medication for it a little bit. And, you know, and others in my family have the same issues. I've wondered sometimes. And he goes, okay. So he said, well, these are tests that I've just given you for anxiety disorder to sort of measure on a scale where your anxiety is. And he said, you know, you actually register on the mild to medium sort of level for anxiety disorder. And Joy said, okay. He said, have you ever thought about going on a medication to help with that? Joy said, well, isn't that bad? Isn't that scary? Like, isn't that something that only, like, crazy people need? And he said, no. So Joy, the medications are so good now, the SSRIs we have. He's like, all it would do is it would mute the little voices in your head that tell you to worry about everything. It would stress you out so much. It would make your life maybe more enjoyable, easier to cope. He said, I'm going to write your prescription for a month. And just take it. It's a small dose, minimum dose, least I can give you. But he said, just take it and see if it helps, sort of with where you're at. And so we left the doctor's office. We went over to the pharmacy and we filled it. And Ryan cajoled Joy into actually taking it. And what we found was over the next 6 months, as she's continued to take this medication, that it helped so much in her life. That so much of the darkness and the worry that she experienced faded. That she was able to be more fully who she was. Now, why am I telling you about my wife's anxiety disorder on a Sunday morning during a sermon? Well, it's because anxiety and depression, and those two are sort of interrelated, by the way, are a huge problem in our society and in the church. I looked at the statistics this week from the last statistics Stats Canada released in 2012 after the last census. They did the math. And at least 11% of Canadians between the ages of 15 and 24 are suffering from anxiety. Goes down a little bit when you go from 24 to 60. There's only about 7% in there. at least that number. That's the number that they can quantify, at least from the census, that they would qualify as having anxiety or depression disorders. And what was shocking to me is not just that 1 in 10 people is struggling with this, but less than half of them will ask for help. In fact, the statistics say that approximately 80% of them will never ever talk to anyone about it. No matter how hard they're struggling, no matter how dark the darkness gets, they will not talk to anyone. And it measured up with what I've learned from my own experience. See, over the past number of weeks, we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit, peace and joy and love and faithfulness and all these great things. And then I talk to people and they're like, but I don't feel that, Pastor Ryan. I feel darkness. I feel depressed. I feel tired and angry. Where am I in my journey? Is this something? So often they tell me, and I'm so ashamed of that. I'm so ashamed that I have these feelings that are bad, that I'm not feeling good, that I'm not in this great place with God right now. And so I can't talk to anyone about it because I don't want to tell them how ashamed I am, and I don't want to shame myself further. That for me is a struggle, because I wanted to talk about this and remind them that they have no reason to be ashamed. Depression and anxiety are diseases that affect everyone. As I said, 1 in 10 people in this room probably has an anxiety disorder. So by my math, that's about 8 of us in here usually. There's usually about 80 people in the EM service. So look around at the 8 people closest to you in the pews. One of those people is probably struggling with depression. And all of a sudden we get this feeling, well, aren't we not supposed to be depressed? Is it Christian to be depressed, Pastor Ryan? Are we allowed to feel bad? Doesn't God say that we're supposed to praise him all the time? No? How am I allowed to be depressed, Pastor Ryan? I'm not poor. I'm not in a bad place. I'm not being persecuted. It just doesn't make sense. And yet, as I look around the world, I find out that depression affects us all. Rich and powerful, famous and wise, depression touches their lives. You don't need to look further than your newspaper to find that out. You don't even look further than those who we would consider successful, famous and powerful, who've committed suicide or admitted that they struggle with it. Going through my own files, I could pull up so many in my life that, did you hear so-and-so committed suicide because of their depression? Rip Rippon, a hockey player for the Vancouver Canucks. If you want to go back into my childhood, Kurt Cobain, a famous musician with Nirvana. And even earlier this year, in a concert that Joey and I were excited to go attend, we found out we weren't going to because Chester Bennington, the lead singer from Linkin Park, had committed suicide because of his depression. Successful people, famous people, rich people, they struggle with this just as much. And in fact, we find that our biblical heroes struggle with it. Often we go, well, it's not Christian. If we were men after God, we would not struggle with these things. And women after God, we wouldn't struggle with these things. And yet that's not true. Elijah, at one point, begs God to kill him because he's so depressed about his life. The prophets at times lament. And even King David, the man after God's own heart, spends time being depressed in Scripture. If you ever doubt that, read the Psalms of David sometime. And that's where we're going to start today with, is Psalm 31, verses 9 to 14. And we're going to listen to a cry from the heart of David. So if you have your Bibles, flip them open. If you don't have them, read along on the screen. But listen to this cry from the heart of David. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones, my very bones, waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten, like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my very life. I'm sorry, if that's not depression, I don't know what is. Everybody's out to get me. My friends don't even want to be around me. My life is meaningless. I'm like a broken jar. And Lord, I just want to die. That's depression, my friends, from the man after God's own heart, from the King himself. Now, what sets David apart from us is David's not afraid to admit that he's depressed. Throughout the Psalms, David pours out his heart to God and to those around him about his own struggles, about the places where he doubts, where he fears, where he is just so dragged down. He cries them out to God. He screams them out in a voice that shouts, Lord, why do the wicked prosper? He sings a sad song sometimes. And we all need to be able to sing sad songs. See, that's the issue. We have to come to the place in our minds where we realize that depression is normal, that we all struggle with it, and that for some of us it's just a little bit worse than others, and they need a little bit more help. See, we need to realize that God is with us in all of our emotions and in all of our states, and is not ashamed to be with us in those places. He's not angry at us when we doubt or when we fear or when we're depressed, but instead whispers, I am with you. And to remember those words that I often teach new Christians, therefore in Christ Jesus there is no condemnation. Condemnation, that word, that sense of being ashamed or fearing that you will be punished for how you feel. There is none of that in Christ Jesus. We can go to God with exactly how we're feeling. And we can cry out to our daddy, Lord, it hurts. Jesus, I am so depressed. I am so sad right now. And he understands. He holds us in his arms and goes, I absolutely understand. After all, this is the Lord who once wept blood as he prepared for his own trials, who cried out to his own father about the cup he would have to drink. I understand, he whispers back. I'm with you. It's okay. We need to be able to sing sad songs to God. We need to be able to approach him in a way that says, Lord, I am just not okay right now. But more than that, we need to be able to sing sad songs to each other. And we need to let each other sing sad songs. We need to be with each other as we feel and process our emotions. As we can say to the community, walk with me as I go through this valley. We need to remind each other of the fact that there is no shame in feeling the way you feel. There is no shame in being depressed or being anxious or struggling with any other type of mental illness. You are beautifully and wonderfully created, but we live in a broken place. And sometimes that brokenness requires us to seek a little bit more help. And the community needs to rally around them and say, sing your song. Be with us as you walk through this. We also need to encourage them, though, to get the help that they desperately need. So often in communities, and as I tell Joy's story, I'm reminded of when we finally told Joy's parents that she was on anti-anxiety medication. And Joy's mom and dad are amazing people. I love Mama and Papa dearly. But they're very old school. And when we told them this, Joy's mom started crying. She goes, but doesn't that mean that there's something wrong with you? Doesn't it mean that you just, you know, and she struggled with it so hard. Does it mean that I did something wrong when I was raising you? Does it mean that there's something wrong with our family? Can't you just pray harder? If you pray harder, won't this just go away? And I had to sit with her and be, Mama, no. This is where Joy is right now. We need to support her in that. So often people are afraid to seek help because they think the community will be ashamed of them. Or because they're ashamed of themselves that they need to seek it. They think that there's something wrong with the fact that they need to visit a medical professional because, well, it's a mental issue, not a physical one. Which is silly because they're essentially equivalencies. If any of you had diabetes, none of us would think less of you for taking insulin. Would we? I certainly wouldn't. If one of you had high blood pressure, we would go, you should take your high blood pressure medication. If one of you had an ulcer, we would say, you should take your ulcer medication. Any physical ailment, we would go, you should go deal with that. If I fell off the stage and broke my arm, you would all say to me, Pastor Ryan, go to the hospital. Get your arm set. And yet when it comes to mental illness, we tell people, hide it. Don't talk to anyone about it. Don't take the medication you need. Be ashamed of what it is because it's something wrong with you. Which makes no sense. It's essentially the same thing. All we're saying is, you lack a little bit of a chemical in your brain, or this thing will help you to live your life more fully. So we need to encourage them not to be afraid to seek medical help, to talk to a counselor, to maybe go through some cognitive behavioral therapy or other processes that'll help them deal with their thing, to take medication if needed, and to understand that that's not something they have to be ashamed of or afraid of. Instead, we should celebrate with them that they have found release, that they have found a common sense solution to their problem. It's one of those things that I find humorous about mental illness in the church is sometimes we look at people and we go, well, you should just pray harder that God takes it away from you. I often feel like looking at people who tell me that and go, should we pray harder that your arm mysteriously grows? Or should we pray harder that your ulcer just fades away and tell you to not take your medication? No, we wouldn't do that. We'd go, well, pray, but while you're doing that, common sense says that you should take the best medical advice you can get in this day and age where we have medical advice and use it. Common sense says you don't go, okay, well, we'll just stop doing this and, you know, we'll just pray harder. That God-given common sense needs to apply to mental illness as well. It needs to be there to say to people, we have medical professionals who can help you. use them. And praise God that his solution to your problem in your life might be medicine. That might be your healing. That might be your miracle. And we need to walk the road with them as they go down it, as hard as that might be, and remind them along the way, always, that there is nothing, nothing that they need to be ashamed or afraid to tell us. We need to be okay with walking with them as they lament and as they walk through the valley. We need to be able to stand and to cry out to God with them as they sing this sad song. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't tell them that they're loved. It doesn't mean that we can't remind them that even as they sing this sad song, they should praise God. If you go on from where I read in Psalm 31, David goes on to say, "Yet I still trust in the Lord." So our goal is still to point them towards heaven, but also to stand with them as they struggle with that. Our goal is to walk with our brothers along the road and our sisters, to say, we will journey with you as we walk towards heaven, as we walk towards maturing in discipleship. And we will push you down this road if we have to. But we will recognize who you are in the midst of it. And we will be okay with saying that you struggle with these things and singing these sad songs with you for a season in the hope and the prayer that maybe someday we will also get to sing a song of freedom with you, in the hope and the prayer that the day will come when Jesus comes to us, where we will all stand before the Lamb, healed and renewed, without sadness and shame. But until that day comes, we stand together, and we stand with you as you sing your sad song. Pray with me. Lord, we pray for all our brothers and our sisters who walk through the valley of the shadow, Lord, who struggle with depression and anxiety and mental illness, and who are afraid to tell us about it because they worry we would be ashamed of them, and afraid to tell you about it because they're worried you would be ashamed of them. Father, remind them once again that they are your beloved children. There is nothing they could ever do that would make you ashamed of them. There is nothing they could ever go through that would remove them from your love. Lord, remind them and encourage them to cry out to you in their pain and their suffering and tell you how they actually feel. And remind them again that your community, this body, is here for them. And that we too will not be ashamed of them. Lord, help them to know when the best practice for them is to seek medical help. Help them to be unashamed of who they are and how they feel, and to walk in truth. And Lord, help us to accept them in that. Stand with them and bear with our brothers and sisters as they walk the road you have laid before them, as they carry the cross you have laid upon their shoulders. Lord, we often don't do that well, so remind us as well how to be a people who love, how to be a community who cares well for those who are struggling, how to walk with them as they struggle. And Lord, we pray for those in that place that they would know today your love and be reminded that you would point to yourself and say, I'm still here. I'm still with you and I still love you, even as you walk this road. Lord, may they be reminded of that. May it encourage them. And may it help to bring a little bit of light into their darkness. We pray that in your strong name. Amen.